Virginia, a Democrat, former governor of Virginia. He joins us now this morning. And, you know, it's a serious topic. I'd love to just chat with you about holiday stuff. But the truth is, we're looking at a deadline for some sort of budget agreement going forward, or the federal government, I guess, shuts down. What do you think will happen here, Senator?
Well, John, good morning.
Good morning.
I feel like we've seen this movie before.
We have, yeah.
And you know, this is one of those areas where it is a self-imposed crisis. The good news is, if there's any good news out of this, is that about 70% of the federal government has been fully funded. The Defense Department, most of the other key agencies. Mm-hmm. There's about seven of the appropriation bills that haven't been funded. Mm-hmm. The big battle is not on six of them, it's on the Department of Homeland Security. Mm-hmm. So one way the president could get out of this is go ahead and, you know, sign the bills where there's no disagreement, let those go forward. And then on the question of Homeland Security, if you want to have a fight about that, so be it. And it would be a fight over the question is, what's the smartest way to do border security? Mm-hmm. I'm all in favor of stronger border security. I think, you know, we need secure borders. But what I'd rather do is do what the experts say. And they say the strongest way to do border security is put more drones in, put more electronic surveillance. Some places build some level of a fence, not a wall, but do what they say from an expertise standpoint. The president is obsessed about this idea of a wall that supposedly Mexico was going to pay for, which they're not going to pay for. And he's kind of drawn a line in the sand. And even his Republican allies know that this is kind of a losing hand. So what my hope would be is if you could get the six bills that are already agreed to, get them off the table, and then if you want to simply say, okay, we're going to fight about this later, mm-hmm. do what's called a continuing resolution, which basically says we're just going to keep funding the government while we'll have this fight in January. Frankly, if there is a shutdown, it would be a failure in leadership. I mean, the point is, and again, I think the president the other day when he had the meeting with the Democratic leaders were, and it was a little bit surreal, where he kept bragging about the fact that he was happy to shut down the wall, shut down the government. He was pleased to shut down the government. He wasn't going to blame it on the Democrats. He was, you know, he would take all responsibility. I just don't think that's. I don't think that's the way we ought to be operating.
Well, in a huge budget like this, what's the problem with giving the president the money that he wants for the wall? I mean, given the fact, like, you know, like it or not, that's what he ran on. That's what he promised, not just, you know, the mm-hmm. right-wing Republicans, but that's what he promised the American public, and he did win. So why with this huge budget that we spend so much money on so many things, why don't we just go forward with that?
He promised the wall was going to be paid for by Mexico.
Right.
If he wants a wall paid for by Mexico, sign me up.
Okay.
You know, but it's just like we gave.
You're not willing to advance the money to him.
I'm not willing to say if he wants to keep his promise, have Mexico write us a check and go build the wall. But nobody from the kind of expertise on the border thinks that this is the smart way to do it. Last year, the budget allowed him, I think it was like $1.3 billion for additional border security. Not a foot of wall has been built because, and there's no really legitimate reason here other than the fact that I think his own experts, the national security experts, say, you know, this really isn't a very smart way to protect our border security. The smarter way is use drones. The smarter way is put in a fence. The smarter way is put in electronic sensors. I mean, the same way that, for example, Israel protects some of its security area with advanced technology.
We've got dueling experts back and forth, don't we? Just with different assessments.
But again, if The president had $1.3 billion. Mm-hmm. Why didn't he spend it on the wall the last year? He had that money. The contracts haven't been let. And again, let's remember what the promise was. The promise was he was going to build this big, beautiful wall. It was going to be paid for by Mexico. If he can pull that off, have at it.
Okay. Well, all right. Let me ask you about the conversations that you're having with some of Virginia's businesses, corporations, as it relates to our ongoing trade negotiations, specifically with China. I've heard some stories about how Virginia businesses are being, you know, deeply harmed here. What is your assessment of what's going on?
Well, this is an area where actually I have some agreement with Mr. Trump. I
mean, okay.
China does cheat. China steals our intellectual property. The Chinese companies, with the Chinese tech companies, are infiltrated with the Communist Party. I am very concerned from a national security standpoint that kind of next generation technology, artificial intelligence, what's called quantum computing, next generation wireless, which is called 5G, that they are going to be the leaders in those technology areas. Where I disagree with the president was I think the rest of the world, you know, the Europeans, the Canadians, the Japanese, the Koreans, they all were coming to the same understanding on this issue. And frankly, the Obama administration should have done more in their last year. Where I disagree with the president is instead of rallying the rest of the world in a united front against the Chinese who are not playing fair, he ended up, you know, picking a fight with Canada, calling Canada a national security threat, picking a fight with the Europeans, you know, when we should be building a stronger alliance. And my fear is the battlefront that he's picked with China now is things like, you know, tariffs on aluminum, steel. I was with a bicycle manufacturer called Pello Bikes in Richmond the other day. I mean, they're going to be driven out of business because some of these aluminum steel tariffs, obviously Virginia farmers have been hurt by some of the soybean tariffs. You know, what my fear is that the president who created this fight with China rather than building alliances is going to declare victory in 90 days by, you know, maybe getting rid of some of the short-term tariffs on aluminum and steel, but lose the longer-term war or the longer-term conflict in some of these areas of advanced technology. My biggest fear is China's frankly just plain cheating in the advanced technology area. And to the extent, John, that I've been going out with one of my, you know, with a Republican senator, usually with Marco Rubio, I did it with Richard Burr, and taking leaders of the FBI and intelligence community, frankly, to go out and talk to the business community about how dangerous it is in some of these high-tech areas to do business with China.
I want to pick that up next time I talk to you, and I'm looking at the clock. I know you got to go too, but I think I'd be remiss. We're talking to U.S. Senator Mark Warner of Virginia. What do you think is going to happen here with President Trump and the indictment of his attorney? I mean, is this – it doesn't look to me like he has done anything wrong. Maybe trashy, maybe shady, but illegal? I'm not seeing that. Am I missing something here? Do you have an assessment?
Well, John, on the question of whether he directed payments – to women so they wouldn't come out during the campaign. I mean, there may be campaign finance violations there. I mean, that's not what I've been focusing on. Mm-hmm. What I've been focusing on in our investigation is the question of collusion. And we don't have,
you think
we don't
that,
have the answer to
you
that.
Think that even there's any evidence that that's, that occurred?
John, hold on.
Do you think
we've
so?
We've not heard anything in terms of what Mueller's conclusions are.
Okay.
What we do know right now is we know there are, at this point, there are 14 specific examples of where Russians or Russian agents reached out to people in the Trump campaign. Now, what were the responses back? I think Mueller knows that. The jury is still out. But the amount of efforts that were made from Russian and Russian officials, and this goes back to his ties to the National Security Advisor, General Flynn. It goes back to Mr. Papadopoulos. It goes back to Manafort. It goes to Cohen. You know, What was the response back? That's where the, I think there is an open question.
Okay.
But were the Russians reaching out on a regular basis? Absolutely.
All right, we would know they're bad guys. It's just a question of how our people, how the Trump team dealt with
fair
it
enough.
Or did. Yeah.
Fair enough. John, fair point. And let's see where that leads. And because I'm reserving judgment until we see all the facts. And you know, I know certain people have reached conclusions. I've not reached any conclusion until we see all the facts.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you holding your judgment, and I appreciate you staying on the line talking to us this morning. U.S. Senator
yes,
Mark
sir.
Warner, the former governor of Virginia, Democrat, appreciate it very much. Thank you, sir. It's 8:16, and I talked too long, but you know, when you get the senator on the phone, you want to get to the bottom of stuff. Let's check real fast from the Richmond Raceway Traffic Center on the roads.